This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows, and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. World of Warcraft Battle for Azeroth is finally here. Joining me to give a history of World of Warcraft and thoughts on this latest expansion is Invin Global reporter Tony Bay. Tell me a little bit about yourself. How long have you been playing World of Warcraft?
10 years in total. I started playing the games since it was released in 2005. What I mean by 2005 because it was released in 2005 in South Korea. So that's the time when I started playing the game. Except for the second and third expansions, which were Burning Crusade and Wrath of the Lich King, I almost played most of the other expansions as well. So
that is a long time. I actually played World of Warcraft 2 for Classic WoW, Burning Crusade, and Wrath of the Lich King. After Wrath of the Lich King, I stopped playing. But I did know that World of Warcraft was a real-time strategy game before it became an MMO. Why did Blizzard jump from that?
Yeah. Like you said, it used to be RTS genre back in like 1990s and early 2000s. As soon as it became the early 2000s, which was the early 21st century, it was actually the time when many advanced MMORPGs were released, including Dark Age of Camelot, RuneScape, Final Fantasies, Lineage 2, and you can name it. So with the technological development, it was the right time for game companies to converge their player base into a massive virtual world where the amount of content that they can enjoy is so vast. That, in turn, earns a significant amount of playtime, both for players and game companies. And this was extremely beneficial for both players and companies because players can enjoy the game as much as they want to, as long as there's enough content they can play. And unlike the usual method of earning profits, such as selling copies of the title, companies can now derive profits by placing a monthly subscription system and whatnot for as long as the players enjoy their title. For titles to be successful, they had to have extremely good game elements involved with the lore and each NPC's distinct characteristics. And the Warcraft franchise already possessed all of these elements at the time, since they were selling these games in the RTS zone. So they must have thought it was the right time for them to release the next title of the series in the MMORPG zone.
Now, the Warcraft, the RTS, I never played it, but I was reading, and a lot of people have told me that the lore from that game to the MMO was slightly different, and now they're trying to bring the lore back. Is that true?
Some part yes, and some part no. So if you're asking a question in regards to whether the game is actually continuing the lore that was already established in the previous Warcraft games, comprehensively speaking, they did continue the lore up until the Wrath of the Lich King. That expansion was pretty much the ending part of the Warcraft 3 expansion anyway. So, and that's probably one of the main reasons why the expansion was the most praised one by World of Warcraft fans for its excellent game elements, lore, and everything else involved with them. However, the company had to continue the franchise somehow after the Wrath of the Lich King. With the lore that has not been explicitly displayed in previous titles before, the Cataclysm, which is the expansion that came out after the Wrath of the Lich King, was released at the time. And it was followed by the Mists of Pandaria and so on. And now you have a couple more other expansions. And I personally believe that most expansions that came out after the Wrath of the Lich King were relatively satisfying pieces in terms of lore, from my personal perspective.
Now, I know that Blizzard also has their own books. Do you know if those books are canonical to the lore or if those are standalones?
That's a little bit controversial because the book is originally based upon the original lore, which was established since the very first Warcraft. Okay, let me put it this way. So the fundamental concept of Warcraft in the beginning was the conflict between the human and orc, which is purely what the book is actually following. And at this time, the orcs were just a group of bad folks who wanted to invade the human land in the beginning. Then in Warcraft 2, the company changed the original concept of orcs, that they were actually sent by demons. Then in Warcraft 3, more factions such as Night Elves and Undead joined, broadening the spectrum of the Warcraft saga. So what I'm trying to say here is that as the company tries to release more expansions by time, each piece of the expansion, individually speaking, they are pretty perfect, in my opinion. In terms of lore, in terms of gameplay, each piece is perfect in its own way, but just because the game company has to broaden their saga, it just sometimes collides. And I think it is kind of inevitable, not just for the Blizzard Entertainment itself, but for any companies for any entertainment companies who are trying to expand their spectrum. So going back to the original question that you just asked, if the book is actually following the original concept or original lore, yes, I think they are following it. Yes.
Now, the upcoming expansion, Battle for Azeroth, one of the things that I've been reading in a lot of the comments about this expansion is how they don't like how Sylvanas is all over the place. She turned good guy, she turned bad guy, she turned good guy, now she's a bad guy again. What's going on here with the story?
I think I have to be honest here. I'm an Alliance player myself. I don't really understand too much about how Sylvanas is acting and for what she's acting that way. But what I can say for sure is that even though I'm an Alliance myself, I don't judge Sylvanas' act. Because if you think about it, the way that the actual world in the reality is happening, that they are always fighting for their pure advantages, always. Like, they are fighting for their own people. They are not fighting for, like, the other people. Like, for example, the Horde is not fighting for the Alliance and vice versa. The Alliance is not fighting for the Horde. They are fighting for themselves. I'm not saying that Sylvanas is doing a pretty good job, but she's doing what she has to do for the sake of her own people. What I mean by own people is her scourge, the undead, who cannot reproduce themselves. Yeah, and I think this is just a part of the process that she's trying to fulfill her objective.
I can get that, and you're right. She has always been about protecting the Forsaken, but she is the war chief of the Horde. Shouldn't she be thinking of everybody? And that's where I have a personal problem with that, too, where she's taking out the Tree of Life. She's starting this big war, and I'm sure it has something to do with, you know, reproduction of her people, because they're obviously undead. They can't reproduce. But she's not thinking of the orcs. She's not thinking of the Taurens. She's not thinking of anybody else other than her people. I mean, doesn't that make her a bad war chief?
From certain perspective, yes. I think she makes herself look like a bad war chief. And I also understand that point. I sometimes see her as like one of the worst war chiefs that the Horde could ever get. Well, even though it's just a game, when you think about the reality and when you think about the actual wars that happened in the past, when you actually encounter some like enemies in the battlefield, you don't really think about I have to fight this with honor or something like that. You have to think about how to survive. You have to think about how to live without dying or losing your arms or something like that. And from that perspective, in that aspect, I think Sylvanas is doing pretty good job, because all she's thinking about is to save her race. Not that I'm saying that she's not thinking about the rest of the Horde. I think she's also considering the survival of her entire faction. The bottom line is that whatever she is doing for the war cannot be judged by the others. The only group of people who can judge her doings is the Alliance. And I don't think the Horde can be in any position to judge her doings, because they had so many chances to reverse what they have done in the past. For example, in the Mists of Pandaria, they could have adopted Garrosh way before he started becoming like some sort of a maniac, but they didn't actually do anything about it. I mean, they tried, but it wasn't good enough. In the West of the Lich King, they could have stopped the Scourge from using the biological weapons when they were smashing the Dwarven itself, but they couldn't actually. Well, maybe they couldn't anticipate what was going to happen, but they couldn't stop it anyway. So there was a couple of chances that they could implement, but they just didn't do it. That's my my opinion. Yeah, I think in that sense, Sylvanas is doing a pretty good job.
You know, you're right about that. Horde is always late to the party. They always let the maniacs go a little bit too far.
Yeah.
And then they come in and try to help. And it's always a little bit too late. And then Alliance looks like we're invading. Yeah, I get it. I played Alliance too. And it was always kind of suspect how the Horde were playing these weird games. They're trying to overthrow each other, it looked like. But whatever. Yeah. I know personally for me, after Wrath of the Lich King, it felt like it was an ending. And also during that time, Blizzard had this project called Project Titan. And this was supposed to be the next project they were coming out that was going to replace World of Warcraft. And it just never happened. Why didn't it happen?
I don't really have any related knowledge about this Project Titan because I've heard about the name before and I looked into it, but I didn't look into it in detail.
I had to look it up because I was curious about Project Titan, and I found out some information. It turns out that it was supposed to be this massive multiplayer online thing where you work in the morning and then at night you turn into this gunslinger, and it's a futuristic thing. And everybody was supposed to have an option of whether they could be this nightlife and go around and, I guess, fighting other people in a PvP kind of arena. Or your other option is you could just be a full-time merchant. You can sell stuff. You can have a life kind of like Sims. It never happened. Okay. The technology wasn't there. And a couple months after they turned Project Titan out, they came up with Overwatch. So Overwatch is the love child a little bit of Project Titan. It's what they pieced together.
Uh-huh.
And for me, though, if Project Titan was able to work out, because they went and they hired a bunch of producers and programmers from the actual Sims, you know, the game. They brought them in to try to make this work, and it didn't work out. Anyways, why continue World of Warcraft if they had intention to end it at Lich King? Is this just a money run, or do you think that the lore and the story is still good enough to continue?
From a company's perspective, it is always the profits that they have to look after. What I mean by profits is obviously a financial matters. If you don't have a healthy financial status and you cannot actually run the company, it's quite logical that you cannot actually do any other product thereafter. So it is pretty normal for the company to have a good financial status so that they can do projects on and on. In that sense, yes. I think that is one of the reasons why they continued doing the World of Warcraft even after the rest of the Lich King. But the other probable reason is that the rest of the Lich King was the most successful World of Warcraft expansions by far, from my understanding. Not only because they earned a lot of money by releasing that game, they had the biggest number of subscribers at the time. And in all aspects, it was the most successful expansion. And they just had to keep it up, not to, dissatisfy the current players who were still playing the game. In order to not dissatisfy those people, they had to keep it up, because there were so many fans who were still waiting for the next plot, even after Arthur's Manaphil dies, Because if you go back to the original Warcraft and Warcraft 2, there are still some hidden plots where you still didn't know what was going to happen,
I'm glad that you knew that things were explained later on in later expansions. But my thing is when it comes to the Battle of Azeroth, it seems like they're rehashing the old Alliance versus Horde again. Do you think they're going back to their roots with this type of storyline, or do you think there's going to be more to it that we just can't see yet?
Old hatred between two factions have always been there for generations. What I mean by generations is in the game time. So. And you could find it throughout the whole game, from the vanilla World of Warcraft to the most recent Legion expansion. And although this expansion called the Battle of Azeroth seems to be just the bigger version of the old Alliance versus Horde, they have always united somehow for one cause, for example, in Mr. Pandaria, you had to defeat a Garrosh House Green. In Wrath of the Lich King, you had to defeat the Lich King. And, you know, in the Burning Crusade, there's the Illidan, and, you know, like, you name it. And I believe that same would happen in this expansion as well, because you will see another old god. Who knows what will come out after them? We'll just have to see and find out.
Now, I had to do some research because it's been so long since I played. I found out that they merged a couple of servers because there just weren't enough people on certain servers to just keep them standalone. And previously, you also said that during Wrath of the Lich King, there was a huge amount of people. I mean, they had commercials where they would tout how many subscribers they had. They don't do that anymore. Yeah. Do you think the game gets dying a little bit or no?
Let's just talk about the commercials that you just mentioned first. So commercials that promote the number of subscribers for the World of Warcraft, that does not have any meanings nowadays. That no longer has any meanings nowadays. They have already reached their subscriber quota ages ago with the quality content and whatnot. The game and commercials nowadays are all about showing what the game actually offers to players. This includes gameplay, graphics, and anything that involves the game elements so that people know if what they will pay the money for is worth or not in other bands. But from my perspective, the commercials that does not include how many subscribers they have at the moment, quite valid in today's time. In terms of whether the game is actually dying or not, I don't think it is dying. If the game is dying, I'm pretty sure the company wouldn't just continue making another expansion like over and over and over, because making an expansion, even though it's not making a whole new game, it's still troublesome. So in that sense, I don't think the game is dying. I'm not saying the game is growing. It's really hard to say that, but I'm pretty sure that the game is not dying at the moment.
Since you still play World of Warcraft, are you excited about this expansion?
Yes, of course. In fact, before I started this interview, I got on to the World of Warcraft just before and played for a couple of minutes.
Did they bring any new characters out that you can play, or is it the same hunter, mage type of thing?
In regards to classes, there's no new class, but there is a couple of new races that you can actually play, but there is a pre-requirement in order to play those new races. It's really hard to name them all because I don't really memorize all of them. So, but since I'm an alliance myself, there are two races, the Void Elf and a new type of Draenei. There are also two races, which are one type of Tauren, and the other one is called the Nightborn for the Horde. And there will be two new races, one each for each faction as well, in this expansion.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you taking time out to talk with me.
No, thank you for having me. Thank you for sparing your time.
For those listening, where can they find more information about you and Invin Global?
If you are looking for more World of Warcraft information, you're always more than welcome to visit the most famous websites of all time, WoWhead, out there. It always has everything you need, from the lore aspect to whatever class guides you need. If you are looking for some in-depth class guides, I think Icy Vein is one of your best choices.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.